In the wake of the pandemic, there has been a renewed conversation about the protections and benefits we owe our low-wage workers, many of whom worked, not from the comfort of home, uninterrupted for the last 16 months. As part of that reflection, I spoke with Assembly Small Business Committee Chair Al Sturpe for a recent episode of the PBS Public Affairs program Connect New York, which you can find in its entirety at wcny.org/connect-ny. But as a special treat for Capital Press Room listeners, we're going to play an excerpt of that conversation, which I began by asking the Syracuse area Democrat about any new ideas or reinforced ideas he had about labor benefits and protections following the last 16 months.
Well, I think the pandemic has made many things much clearer to both business and labor. I think pre-pandemic, especially in certain industries, restaurants and retail, employers thought of employees as more like widgets. And, you know, if we need them, we'll call them. And if it's not busy, we'll send them home and, you know, things like that. We found out that even restaurant workers are essential employees. I mean, they spent the majority of the pandemic in the kitchens, working, bringing curbside food out to people, trying to keep things as normal as possible for everybody. And I think they did a great job, and we should be very grateful to them. And what that has, I think, taught us is that they're people, they have lives outside of work, they have children, they have commitments, responsibilities to pay things. So we have to make sure that they get paid fairly. And as far as, you know, sub-minimum wage or things like that, I think we might have to rethink that. But the thing that makes that most complicated is that the workers are not even in agreement on that. If you go to fine dining establishments, those wait staffs, you know, they can work a four-hour shift and make $300 or $400 in tips. And they're certainly not looking to give that up. But in the rest of the restaurant industry, I think it's a little bit more difficult. And things like tip pooling that's done in California is something we need to look at. I mean, we've even had places in New York City not allow tips anymore and just build that right into the price of the food.
Well, you mentioned the disagreement about the tip minimum wage within the industry itself, and I think that was highlighted by these Department of Labor hearings that the Cuomo administration had a couple of years ago, where they were considering whether they would unilaterally raise the tip minimum wage themselves. Ultimately, what they ended up doing was raising the tip minimum wage for everyone who gets a tip minimum wage outside of the restaurant industry. Right. As you think about this issue moving forward, how do you decide the best way forward? Is it a series of hearings? Are we just going to have to jump and leap and see what happens? What do you do?
Well, I think it's really going to have to depend a lot on the restaurants themselves. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have to make some decisions, because if you talk to any restaurant person right now, they tell you how hard it is to find workers.
Right.
The summer brought some relief because the college kids came back, and as far as wait staff, they sort of filled a lot of those gaps, but the kitchen staff is still an issue that they're dealing with. So I think they're going to have to figure out a way that they can attract employees and keep employees. And, you know, we can't really do a one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to these folks, and it really, again, is going to come back onto the restaurant owners.
Well, turning then to the traditional minimum wage, which is now at $12.50 in upstate New York as of December 31st of last year, now the Cuomo administration has the ability, the Division of Budget, to unilaterally raise that rate potentially up to $15 an hour. They can do it this year. They can do it over many years. How would you like to see them go about that process? Because in the past, say, when they went up to $12.50 last year, DOB basically put out a statement, says economic conditions are okay for this. Is that all you really want to see from DOB moving forward? Should there be more extensive hearings? And in terms of that pace of getting to $15 an hour, is this something where you think we're ready to do right now, maybe, in upstate?
I don't think we're ready right now. I mean, I guess I'm speaking as chair of small business and, you know, reaching out and talking to a lot of those folks. But it's something that really is going to depend on the data. So if costs continue to go up, I'm assuming minimum wage will have to go up at some point. Whether it goes up to $15 an hour over the next 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years is going to depend on that. You know, the cost of living in New York City and the 12-county metro area is a lot higher than it is here in Syracuse. And $15 an hour is still a struggle for people down there. I don't think it's quite as bad up here, but still, I think that a lot of people are paying people more than $12.50 that used to pay just minimum wage because the fact that it's hard to get people to come and work for $12.50 an hour.
And I mentioned the process that New York has now in terms of getting potentially to $15 upstate. Does that process make sense to you? Should we be examining this every year potentially? Should this just be automatically triggered by inflation increases? Should it be tied to other metrics? Or do you like having the legislature and the governor potentially with the authority to raise this on their own?
Well, I think what's going to happen every year when we're out of session, we do our hearings and roundtables and things. I think that's really where we're going to get the information from both employees and employers of how things are out in the real world. So I think that has to play a big part in information that the Department of Labor might look at as far as whether or not they're going to raise it. You know, you can't assume that they're never going to raise it just because a business says that's going to be a hardship, because they are people and they need to live and pay their bills and everything. So I think it's going to be a gradual increase, but I think it's definitely going to go up.
And you talked about the different cost of living, say, in the New York City area versus upstate. And really, if you hammer down into this even more, there are a lot of differences. You have potentially young people who are in high school and college who might end up be making $15 an hour versus a parent to trying to support a family on $15 an hour. Do we need even more flexibility within the minimum wage, or does that create its own headaches with potentially then you try to have businesses who are hiring people who are at the lower minimum wage of a tiered system?
Well, let me tell you, I had some kids and they worked when minimum wage was $7.25.
So they're younger than me, because I was making less than that at one point.
And they had to go to college and they had to save up for college. Some of those colleges cost $50,000, $60,000 a year. They had to take out loans and do all that. So when people tell me that, you know, kids shouldn't make the same as adults, I mean, it depends. What are those kids going to do? Everybody has to come out and either they're going to go to school or they're starting their career and they need to buy a home, buy a car, do things like that. And everything costs more. So saying that, you know, a 16 or 17-year-old kid should only be making $7.25 or $8.50 or $10 an hour, it doesn't sway me all that much.
I want to turn to another issue, and it's something you mentioned in your first answer about how workers were kind of at the whims of their employers. And that talks about this issue of on-call scheduling, another issue that the Department of Labor held hearings about, and they were going to potentially issue new regulations on, and then at the last minute said, no, we're going to kick the ball over to the legislature and let them take the lead on this. What are your thoughts on the need for potential reform of the on-call regulations, potentially either guaranteeing hours or even just guaranteeing wages for people, even on days maybe where they were not ended up working?
Well, there's another complicated issue. It is because there are so many different types of businesses, especially seasonal businesses, weather-related businesses. It's very difficult for those particular businesses, and I think that's why, I mean, it was back in 17 and 18 when we had all the hearings and did all the work on, on that, and that's why they kind of pulled the plug on making any changes, because it was so difficult. But, I mean, currently right now, if you show up for work in New York State, you're supposed to get paid at least 4 hours, even if they send you home. I think that is a good way to go. If you want to make any changes, I think they have to be very specific. I mean, what do you do for snowplow drivers? I mean, you got to wait for the snow. I mean, I had a round table and the guy from Seabreeze in Rochester said, you know, when it rains and stuff, we don't have anybody show up at Seabreeze. Right. So what am I supposed to do with all the employees? And he said, I can't tell them 72 hours in advance whether it's going to rain or not, really. So if we go industry by industry, we can make some changes. I think the retail industry in particular, it was looked at as kind of a way to utilize low-wage workers to kind of balance your books for you. Mm-hmm. And again, these people have responsibilities. So it's not really fair that they're sitting by the phone waiting for you to call. And if you call and they can't go now, all of a sudden, they're either going to lose their job or they're not going to get as many shifts going forward. So got to be very careful, I think, with that. Again, I think what the pandemic has showed us is that employers are now paying more attention. And they're worried about their employees not coming to work anymore. So they're going to bend over a little bit more now than they've ever done before, I think. And hopefully that will make things better for everybody.
I'm glad you mentioned, or I guess acknowledged, the controversy surrounding on-call scheduling in terms of just how politically challenging it is with all these different parts. With that sort of backdrop, I'm curious, is there any sort of conversation right now in the Capitol around something like on-call scheduling? Or because it's such a hot topic, because it's like nuclear, do people just hope it just sort of passes off to the side and we don't do anything with it?
No, to be perfectly honest, we haven't discussed it a lot during the pandemic. I mean, there were many other things mm-hmm. that were emergencies that we're really
one or two,
attending to. But I have a feeling that, again, after Labor Day, when we go out and do a lot of our public hearings and things like that, I think that issue is going to come up again. And I hope that business owners themselves participate in a big way in this and tell us what they're thinking of doing for their employees, try to mitigate some of the downside of on-call stuff. I mean, if you're supposed to come in and get two shifts and then they call up and cancel two shifts on you, you're not making money. And that's a real hardship for somebody in that position. So again, I think that we're going to hopefully get the business community to step up and help out with this.
We're having this conversation solely through the lens of what the state government can do. Are you ever frustrated by the fact that you have to have this conversation
yes.
through that lens?
Yes.
Okay, you see where I'm going,
yes.
which is, you know, New York can increase, say, the minimum
right.
wage, can make things more expensive, and then you have to compete with a neighboring state. Would you like to see this whole conversation elevated to the federal level?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at every issue that we're dealing with, that's a crisis point, whether it's gun control, immigration, you know, minimum wage, anything. It keeps pitting one state against another. And that's just the wrong way to run this thing. It would be a lot better if we had some federal participation and there was some courage on the part of our federal administration and legislators to tackle some of these issues. I mean, they're tough issues, I understand that, but you can't keep kicking the can down the road.
And for our entire conversation with Assembly Small Business Committee Chair Al Sturpe and a panel discussion that touched on the gig economy and minimum wage, check out wcny.org/connect-ny.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.